everybody. Susan T. here from St. Charles, Missouri. Can't see my switch or my shirt, but it's got snowmen on it. I like it. I pulled it out of my closet today just for you guys. I'm Susan, a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. This year, I'm celebrating 8 years of abstinence holidays. I'm very happy about that. Very happy that I've been asked to give service today. My abstinence is no food over 5 grams of sugar, no flour, 3 meals a day with nothing in between, and no skipping meals, no eating in my car, reporting my meal plan to my sponsor every day, every morning, and then honestly reporting any variations of that plan. I just wanted to be clear on what my abstinence is today. I do that for myself, not for you guys, but that is my abstinence today. I've been asked to speak on recovery, and I thought a lot about this. This morning, my creator confirmed with me that I am living in a state of recovery, and that's such a blessing to me. And the confirmation that I received is that I have an awareness that there is a power greater than myself, and that also I've experienced this personality change that brings about recovery. So good news all around for Susan is what I say. I'm happy to, because I had to stop and think, are you in recovery? What is recovery? When I was asked to speak on it. So that led me to read the spiritual experience in the appendix of the big book. If ever I need to know how people came about their spiritual experience, and if I really am having an experience, or if I've had a spiritual experience, all I need to do is read those stories in the back of the big book. Those stories are all about people that are in recovery that are sober. However, the stories are really about their spiritual experience, how they came about a spiritual experience. And it's very useful for me to read that. And what I've found out for me in preparing for this is that recovery is about relationship, period. Yes, I am abstinent, but recovery, actually coming to this place of peace, is about the relationships that I have with other people, people in program, people in my family, people in the community. That is what recovery is for me. When we read A Vision for You, it instructs me explicitly to see to it that my relationship with him is right. So in order for me to have right relationships with others, that is the first thing I need to get straight, is my relationship with my creator. And in doing so, I needed to relearn who I was, who I am, because I forget all the time who I am. And who I am is just I'm searching for the right word because it escapes me yet today, but I am just such a miracle of life. And that I never knew that until I walked into Overeaters Anonymous and knew the importance of my life. Like the guy that's in It's a Wonderful Life, he didn't know how wonderful he was to other people until he no longer was. And then he saw that. But when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, that's when I found out who I really am. And the process that I came to this point of recovery is through working and studying the 12 steps. And I've done it over and over. And specifically, what came to mind this morning when I was thinking about this talk was step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The truth of the matter is I spend a lot more time outside of OA than I do in OA. I go to meetings, I give service, I do things, but truth of the matter is the majority of my life is spent outside of these walls of OA. And so I have to practice these principles in all these affairs. And the majority of that is outside of program. Inside of program, I've given the opportunity to practice and to try things out because I know that you all will love me and accept me. The outside world's not necessarily like that. However, I'm really going to focus on practicing these principles in all our affairs. And so the spiritual principles of the programs, there's 12 of them. Every step has a spiritual principle. Step number one, the spiritual principle is honesty. The way that I practice honesty is, first of all, being honest with my food, period. I have to be honest with my food. And that's not an easy feat because I report my food plan every morning to my sponsor. Then I have to, at the end of the day, even I refer back to my food plan, but at the end of the day, then I have to report honestly how I've made changes in that plan. And that's not an easy thing to do, but I've learned to be honest about that. If I'm not honest about that, then all the other honesty kind of slips away too. So honesty about my food has to come first. I've also learned that I have to be honest about feelings. I don't always even know what my feelings are, but I know enough to say that something's not, I'm not feeling balanced today. I have to be honest with people about that and let people help me. So that takes a vulnerability there. Step two, the spiritual principle is hope. And I work constantly on being willing to change the old habits for new habits. I have to work on changing beliefs about myself, my spirituality, and my relationships. And this hope that I have, it stems from having experiences where I've surrendered to God and let God take over and do for me what I could never do for myself. Then I bring that experience forward into new experiences where I have no idea what to do. But that gives me hope when I've had experiences that actually have turned out for the good. I see a therapist, of course I do, because I'm not right sometimes in the head and I need a lot of people to help straighten me out. My therapist has told me once that every day brings with it a million surrenders. And I go back to that always, that it's just a matter of surrender. Step three, the spiritual principle is faith. Practice faith by understanding that change is possible. And I trust that I will be provided with the means in order to bring about that change. Step four, the spiritual principle is courage. And I've learned to face my problems head on, admit when I'm wrong, admit when I'm being dishonest, and admit when I'm hurt. My feelings need to recover a little bit. So it takes a lot of courage to do that. For me, it takes a lot of courage. Step five, the spiritual principle is integrity. With integrity, I work daily, most days. Okay. I work most days to say what I mean and mean what I say. And when I've made a promise, I really try to work on holding myself true to that promise. And the one that I can think of right now that I work on the most with this integrity thing is I made a promise to my kids where I would not give my advice unless they asked me for my advice. I'm not always good at that, but when I do give advice that I wasn't asked to give, which is basically me making a judgment on the advice or on the judgments, or on the decisions that they've made, then I have to go back and say, I'm sorry, you didn't ask for that. I did that and I'm sorry. But that's integrity to me. Step six, the spiritual principle is willingness. And I've become willing to look into the darker areas of my past, to learn where the damage of life has interrupted me, the life that maybe I was supposed to have. Maybe this is, and I know this is the life that I'm supposed to have actually. But by having that willingness, it allows me to move forward and not stay stuck. I spent the first 50 years of my life stuck in a place that was not healthy for me. So willingness. Step seven, the spiritual principle is humility. I admit my character defects when they run amok, and they still do run amok. Sometimes I don't even know my character defects, but at least I have the willingness to look at them. Step eight, self-discipline. I look at how I'm taking care of myself. Self-care was never on my radar before. It was always about taking care of other people, making sure everybody else was happy. Today, I practice asking for help to sort things out, especially feelings are new to me. I never felt food took care of that for me. I didn't feel anything, but also I didn't feel the pain, but I also didn't feel the joy. Yeah, I look to other people to help me sort through these feelings. Step nine, the spiritual principle is love. And I've learned to respect others, to allow them to have opinions that are different than my own. That's not easy. It's not easy. I thought I was always right, but that was not very loving. I do this program today to help me be more loving so that I'm easier for people to love. That is the reason that I continue to do this program and to continue to search out character defects. My practice patience, realizing that others are having difficulties too. I believe that's love also. I'm scrolling through my screens because I can't remember all these spiritual principles on my own, but spiritual principle for 10 is perseverance. I continue to practice. I love it. I love being able to say, today, I'm going to practice. It doesn't matter. I'm just practicing today. And I practice to change my way of thinking, mostly. The spiritual principle of 11 is spiritual awareness. I look to God in all situations. I look to God to see that he's in all situations. So it's not difficult for me to see God in the good situations. That's very evident to me. But I also have come to realize that God is with me in the difficult situations too. There's a provision right there for me. So the spiritual awareness is huge in my life. Step 12, the spiritual principle is service. I give service where I can. I give service in OA, sharing my experience, strength, and hope in meetings. And I share my abilities with OA when I can, whenever the need arises. And if I'm able, I share. But I also, these days, serve my family. I'm able to serve my community by being less of me and more of the rest of you guys, the more of the greater community, I should say. I share what I've learned in these rooms with my family. I don't just share what I have here. I share with my kids because, and my husband and my brothers, I share with my family because I want the next generation that comes after me to be better, to learn how to communicate better. I was not taught those things in my family. I was not, we were all passive aggressive and let's sweep it under the rug. We didn't talk about anything. Feelings really don't exist. And communication is so important. I just had an experience with my brothers where communication fell apart. And I had a really difficult time that a brother unleashed, I don't know, 50, 40 some years worth of aggravation that has been building up because of not being able to communicate properly. And program came in really important there, that I had to draw some boundaries around how I was going to be talked to. I have a loving family, but they don't know how to communicate properly. I took it as service to help them communicate properly by me communicating properly to them and saying certain things such as, you're not going to be talking to me like that anymore. I deserve respect. I will respect you as long as you respect me, boundaries, a lot of that. But communication, action, expression of gratitude, these are all services that I can give to my family and to those that I serve in the community. So those are the 12 principles, spiritual principles of the program that I live by, try to live by. Today, I'm going to try to live by them. I'm going to practice. But by doing this kind of practice, the promises of the program are coming true for me. So I've been able to go through these stages. I consider these the stages of my program. One, I came in a stage of abuse where I had no control. I had been in stages of abuse in my past. And so I had no control. That's a stage of my life. Stage two of my life is the self-abuse that I was taking control and abusing myself. The next stage I came to in program was acceptance. And that was of me to stop trying to change my past and just realize that my past is my past. And I must learn how to accept that in order to move forward and get unstuck. And then the promise of finally coming to grace and peace in my life is the most wonderful thing. That's where I tend to live today. Every day is not perfect. I get unpeaceful and I get out of grace and I get all these things. But that's where I go to my fellows in program to help me with that. So this has been a long journey of recovering Susan. You guys remember that movie, Desperately Seeking Susan? That was an old movie. And I always think about that when because that's what I was when I came in. I was desperately seeking Susan. I had no idea who she was. I knew what she'd been through, but I had no idea how it affected me. But it all started this figuring out who Susan was. It all started with me putting down food. That's where it started. It says that in the big book that I don't have the quote in front of me, but putting down our alcohol was just but a beginning. That's the thing. For me, when I think this part of recovery, the food part was the easier part because it was tangible. It was something that I could put aside. It was something that I could actually work on not doing. This emotional and spiritual part of recovery, to me, is really difficult because it's intangible. It's an internal thing. It's an inside thing. I have to look within every day of my life to get recovery in that aspect. And that's the hard part. That's really hard for me to do. But I have to say that the abstinence, though, is the absolute most important aspect of my recovery, because without clearing my head of the obsession with food, I can have no right relationships. None. Not even with my higher power. The food definitely, the food and the obsession of food blocked my relationship with my creator. Without a doubt. Without my creator, I can do none of this work. I have to give my abstinence number one priority in my life. I want to encourage everybody to reread There Is a Solution in the big book, because I reread that when I was doing this part. And it tells me there are instructions are so clear in that. It says, pick up the spiritual toolkit that's being laid at our feet. This is a spiritual program. I encourage everybody to seek out the spiritual. And I did this by just trying to clear my slate of what I thought spirituality was. And I started asking questions. I started reading all things spiritual, listening to things. And I placed myself in a position where I could receive new things. Got rid of the old. Placed myself in a position. I placed myself in a position when I go to meetings to hear things that are new to me. And place myself in a position to receive. If I'm not in that position, I'm already filled up with everything that I think I already know, which is garbage when I came into program. I seek out all things spiritual still. And to me, I hear things that I don't agree with, but I go to that old adage, take what you like and leave the rest. And I'll leave you with this, that great events will come to pass for you. And this is a great fact for us. Have yourself a merry little Christmas and let your heart be light. I heard that song the other day. And I thought, when I came into program, my thighs weren't the only thing that weren't light. My heart wasn't light either. My heart was heavy. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I'll pass.